Carolyn.
And I'm Bethany.
And we are
Sisters in Song.
Tonight we welcome back our good friends Oakdale Drive to the show.
Yes, we do. They have a new album that we're going to ask them all about. We're going to put them through the rapid fire.
I can't believe that they were on season one.
Yeah, episode 16. So make sure you check that out first and then listen to this awesome episode.
Hey, listeners, Sisters in Song is brought to you by Pink Whisk Confections, our sponsor. Small batch scratch cookies, cheesecakes, and other desserts are available upon request. Custom orders for color and flavor are welcome anytime. Cookies are $15 for a box of 8 cookies and are individually packaged within the box. You can DM at Pink Whisk Confections on Instagram for placing all your orders. Make sure you use the code Sisters in Song Podcast for 5% off your first order. And you can also get these gluten-free. So anybody out there who has a gluten intolerance, you can ask for a special gluten-free order. Go check it out. I'm not kidding you. These are probably the best cookies you'll ever eat.
Welcome to Sisters in Song. Can you all please take a minute to introduce yourselves? Tell us where you are in time and place at this current moment.
I guess I'll go first. My name's August. I'm the guitarist and writer for Oakdale Drive. I sort of started the band with my friend Jaden, and then Vinny and Andrews came along the way. I'm currently in Asheville, North Carolina. I just did a gig at this hotel, and I'm in my car. So it's good to be here.
Nice.
My name is Vincent DiGiosio. I have been in Oakdale Drive since December of 2021. As a bass player live, and then on albums, and occasionally live, I do guitars poorly. And I also have been a part-time vocalist and songwriter for the band. And I'm currently in my house, in my room.
All right, last but not least.
My name is Anderson Kirchhoff, and I've been with Oakdale Drive since like fall of 2023. And I mainly play saxophone, as well as writing some songs and some other like instrumental stuff. I play flute as well on some tracks as well. And I go to school at the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, and I play jazz saxophone here, and I do gigs and stuff. And that's where I'm at right now, UNCG in Greensboro.
Very well. He's good at everything he's ever known.
Yeah, we'll be back.
We were just talking about you all being on the show back in December of 2023, and that was in our first season.
Yep,
I think you were episode number 16, and what are we on now?
170.
Wow!
You guys were new at this when we did the first one.
Yes, you were. You were one of our very first guests. So we are.
Wow.
We're stoked to have you back.
Yes.
Could
have pulled me there. I really thought you guys knew what you were like. We're like, really, you guys seemed really in the pocket last time. I assumed that was just real experience.
We're experts, honestly. That's right. Well, I'm going to ask, tell us about the new album. We know it came out, in January? What's it called? What inspired it? Tell us all the things.
So the new album's called The Skylight Inn. It's our third album. The name of it came from a barbecue restaurant in Aden that I thought of randomly in class one day, because what we like to do now, since we're all scattered, is we plan a lot of stuff in advance. Like, we have multiple albums that we've planned in advance. And we have a list of album titles that we sort of keep in the studio. And I just thought of The Skylight Inn one day. And then I presented it to Vinny. I was like, so we have a couple titles. He didn't like most of them, but the only one that he was like, this is okay, is The Skylight Inn. So we decided on that. So it was recorded actually in three different time frames. The first one was recorded around the time we were finishing our second album. We were planning on doing a B-side album of all like the leftover songs and stuff. And three of the songs from that, we decided to hold over because we thought they were too good. You know, we needed to release them. So that was around July of 2024. And then in December of 2024, we recorded the lead single, Long Rides, and we did a lot of the recording sessions for the album during that time. And then last summer, we tried to, I, well, we did tour. We did tour, but there was a lot of lineup changes and stuff. But we played around 7 or 8 venues, and we, in between that, Vinny and I wrote a new song called Image of Paradise. It was one of Vinny's riffs, and I was like, we got to do something with that. So we got together, and it took a long time to make that song come alive, but it's my absolute favorite Oakdale Drive song, I have to say. It's the perfect melding of all of our styles. Anders has an amazing solo at the end, and I just can't stop listening to it. So we recorded those 3 songs in that summer period, and then we thought, well, do we record more or do we compile what we have? So we compiled what we have, and Vinny was—he had the impetus to try to combine it into a single track list because he's been doing that since I can remember, you know. So he's very good at that. That's sort of how the album came to be, and we mixed it in, I think, December of last year, and we released it. And I just said, let's blitz it, you know, let's get it out there. I don't want to linger on it anymore because we have so many more projects that we're working on. So we just tried to go at it and get it done. But yeah.
Just want to, I'm very interested. You said I've been doing what for as long as you've known?
No, you've been like compiling track lists. You know how, like,
That's true. That's true. I've never. Should I get into that really quickly? Because I've never told that story before.
Yes,
let's hear it.
We'd
When
love
I
to
was,
hear that. I've always had like a passion for track listing. I think just like the flow of an album is very important. I think the perfect album length is like, I've always said it's like 12 to 14 songs, for me personally. And I used to, like in middle school, I got really good. I would like just make playlists, and it would be a playlist of like 12 different songs from 12 different bands. And just as a challenge, I'd be like, what's the most satisfying track list I can put this in? Like, well, I know these are from 12 different bands, usually around the same genre. And I would be like, can I try to make this sound like in another universe, it could have been a cohesive album by a single artist. And that it's such a like a niche, odd thing to get into, but it's a passion that's carried over into Oakdale Drive. It's just, I think track listing, the art of, you know, deciding how, where the song goes, song is where, and how they flow and weave into each other. I think it's kind of an art form in and of itself that's kind of underrated. You
I would
know, an album's flow
absolutely
is incredibly
agree.
important.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. So for my master's thesis, I wrote a poetry book, and part of that was putting all of the poems in order, and it was hard. So I think that, you know, goes to albums too. I'm like, I can see that it's definitely a talent to have.
Well, and I think you can tell when they don't flow.
Yes.
At all.
Yeah.
You absolutely can. So
Very
that,
much.
I agree. Art form.
It drives me crazy. It drives me crazy. I mean, I find it fun though. I mean, it's not a chore. It's honestly, it's one of my favorite parts of putting together any album. It's like I mean, sometimes it happens on its own and I'm unfortunately robbed of the chance, but sometimes you know everything that's going to be on the album, and you might have a vague idea of like, okay, this one's probably going to be the opener, this one's probably going to be the closer. But it's like when all the songs are done and it's time to have the conversation about, okay, what goes where, that's like one of my absolute favorite parts of the process. So I just love track listing. I don't it's
Your superpower.
I've never met someone, I've never met someone else who's like as specifically into it as I am. Because it's, again, it's such a really specific and niche thing to like care that much about, but I do care about
Well, you go, because you guys'
it.
other
That's
albums
right.
have had great flow, so I'm sure this
Thank
one
you.
does too.
Yeah.
And so I want to know, as a blooper question, what were some of the tanked titles for the album?
Oh,
Can
yeah.
you share?
Um,
Who had, oh, no, you're not in your house. There's a, we should
there
take a picture.
is hanging up in my house.
There's a list.
Well, okay, I might have to. I'll get back to you on that one
right.
because I don't know off the top of my head. But you might remember some, Vinny. I'm not sure.
I know there was another one before Skylight End. I just, well,
Something
this one.
the unknown concern or something like that. I think that
Well,
was something.
this one only kind of counts because, as he said, the album that we have now is sort of an amalgamation of a couple projects that were kind of combined together. But I do remember, and we never were going to officially title this, but the working title of the third album was the Piano Album for a
Yes.
long time. It was never going to be called, It was never going to be called that, but the original version of Skylight Inn, before we decided to combine it with the other album that created what we now know as Skylight Inn, was going to be a heavily piano-driven album. And there are a few songs up there that remain from that previous version, as you said, that were carried over. But during that time, we didn't have a name, so we just referred to it as the piano album, because
The
obviously
piano album. Yeah.
that was
That was it
the
for a
reason.
long time. I remember that.
Yeah, that was the texture we were looking for. So, we didn't just want to call it the third album. So we were like, okay, but is this going on the piano album? It was just, I think, I don't know. Augie started it, and I don't know. We never really officially like decided that was the working title. It's just at some point, that's just what we called it. And then Skylight Inn came in, and it was like, yeah, I mean, there might have been something in between there, but we would
I
have to.
remember one thing. There was a title called A 30,000 Foot View. And I wrote it down there and I immediately wanted to erase it. I didn't like it at all.
I
But
remember, is it still on the board?
it's still on the board. I kept it for the memories, you know? But the thing with this album that makes it so unique compared to our other stuff is when we got Anders on it, and he helped out a lot with the production side of the album, which me and Vinny used to like lock ourselves in a room and finish the whole thing. And, I wouldn't take a lot of other opinions. I just trust him 100%. But when we got Anders on board, I mean, he came in and really listened heavily to see what all, what horn parts it needs and what all, emotion can he convey with it. So that was really a good experience for this album.
Very cool. So
Yeah,
what
it was awesome to work on that.
good. Yeah.
More cooks in the kitchen makes it easier for everybody too.
What'd you say?
Said
Say that again.
more cooks in the kitchen, it makes it easier for everybody. I feel like
Yeah.
I could feel that the load was
Cooking in the
lighter this time
kitchen.
compared to
Stirring
there is a song from Cooking in the Kitchen from
Yes.
our new record of Guilt Drive.
the pot.
But I did
Okay. All right.
felt the relative lack of weight on this one versus like Travel to Eternity, when it was kind of just me and Augie making every decision, as you said, like just in a room for like hours at a time. It, yeah, in the future, now that we kind of have, I don't know if this has been announced, but we've almost re-welcomed our studio drummer and past full-time drummer Jose into the band as like a full member again. I wouldn't mind also having him be a consultant on stuff, so that the four of us can kind of, because I feel like that would, it just makes everything more relaxed when you spread it out.
We have to take a minute to thank our sponsor, Brought Farm Designs. Brought Farm Designs offers the most adorable, handmade, washable, durable cat and dog bandanas and collar scrunchies. Our dogs look absolutely ravishing in theirs. Don't you want your dogs and cats to look as cool as ours? The coolest thing is that they hook onto the collar so you don't have to worry about them falling off or worry about them ending up in someone's mouth. They are perfect and they are adorable. Did I say they're adorable? Go to BF Designs 7, that's BF DESIGNS 7 on Instagram, and send them a message and save 10% off your first order with the code Sisters in Song. Our dogs wholeheartedly approve.
How do you make it work with you all being in different places? That's what I was going to ask you. Good
Well, so
question.
the summers are a good time, and Christmas break is when
Yeah.
we do a lot of our stuff. We had a music video for the first time for one of our songs, the lead single Lawn Rides, and we all got together in the 1st of November in Winston-Salem. I heard about this guy named
So
Evan Daniel,
cold.
and it was so cold. It was very cold, but we all got together and we were
Freezing.
in a parking lot for 5 hours. The police came, we had to tell
Why?
them, yeah, it was a long time, but we got a good
There was a long
video
night.
done.
It and it was the video was awesome.
Was this the first time that we've gotten a chance to talk about this video publicly?
Let's hear about it. Tell us all about it.
It was
That
fun.
was cool.
I will tell you, I've always been a little, I'm not anti music video. I mean, I love music videos like that bands make, but I've always been like weary about making one, because I'm like, if it's not gonna feel quality, it's gonna feel like we're trying to, force something that we just don't have the materials to do. But the music video was very, very well done. It was, better than I was, yeah, there was a guy who came up and yelled at us, and we had to move the car multiple times because it was too loud. And honestly, I've never like like I said, this is the first time we talked about this. And people told me that you can't tell. Apparently, I was hiding well. I was so hungover during that music video shoot. It was November 1st. It was November 1st. I had come into Winston-Salem the day earlier. I was in Richmond, Virginia with my friend at a Halloween party. And I
Fresh.
had, there were drinks. And then I came home and I barely had time to even like take a nap. And then Jose was
Oh no,
whisking
I
out.
was too.
Yeah. Were you hungover also?
I guess I was.
My gosh.
And it's weird how ever like the rare times that I drink always coincide with like some kind of Oakdale Drive thing. It's like, I drunk on Halloween. I'm doing a music video. And it's like, I have been drunk since Halloween. I drink one weekend, 2 days later, I'm on a podcast talking about it. I'm manifesting these things. It was a very nice experience. The crew was very nice. They were very fun. We goofed around a lot. And but it was so cold. And I love they had these big like spotlights to illuminate things. And they were incredibly hot. Like they could like burn you hot. But you could put your hands close enough to them that they would like warm them, and you would be able to move your fingers again, which was very useful because we were at least me and Augie were choreographing bass and guitar. So the ability to,
To actually play.
musicians would notice if we were like really stiffly moving our frozen fingers,
For sure.
pretending like we were playing something.
So where can one when where can listeners find the video?
YouTube. It's
YouTube.
exclusively on YouTube. There's clips of it on Instagram, but find the whole thing on YouTube
All
and you
right.
won't be sorry.
Very cool. So obviously summer means you guys are getting back together. Does that mean you're going to tour with the new album?
That
Would
I
be
don't think
awesome.
so. It would be awesome, but when we played a lot live last year, we couldn't. We had two drummers, and then they both dropped out, and we had to do an acoustic set. And we played at this one
Oh
place
my
called the
goodness.
Trailer Bar, and it was just the three
That
of
could be
us. And
that last summer could be a whole podcast in itself.
it could be.
Yes,
So
it could.
we had a conversation a few months ago, and I presented it originally as a choice, but it was really more like notification isn't even the right word because both August and Anders already knew this, but I was just the first person to say it out loud, which was with the way that things were going, we're kind of at the moment committed to being like a mostly studio band. We kind of coined a term, which is 90-10, which is just supposed to represent that we're like 90% studio and 10% live. Like, and that might change sometime in the far future, but at least for the next couple of years, we're just focused on, doing as much music, like just making cool songs and releasing it out there into the ether because it's just more difficult to play live. That doesn't mean we're like, that's what the 10 is for, because we're not against playing live. It's not like, no, we're never gonna play live, but it's like if the opportunity comes and it's very convenient, we will. And when we do, I will be ready because I have this my bass here. It's in the Long Ride Through the video. But since our last thing, I got this capybara charm from Oklahoma, and I've been wanting to play this on stage so much because. So I've been wanting to play this live because I want people to see this thing dangling as
Well,
I
yeah,
play around. But we'll see what happens.
I would imagine that it's easier to be doing things more in the studio since you are separated, which it makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense.
And it means like, especially because we're not like signed to like a record label or anything, it means there are like really no deadlines except the ones that we put on ourselves. Whereas like, if we wanted to play live, it's like someone's gonna give us a date and we gotta be there and we gotta practice this many times beforehand. And it takes a lot of the control out of our hands, and we don't really got a lot of control to begin with to give up. So
And for me, being in the studio, I'm in a music technology curriculum at UNC Asheville, so I'm constantly learning new engineering and mixing skills, and it's really good to put those into practice when I'm in the studio because I'm just constantly trying to improve and just get better mixes, and I'm on this road and I can't stop, because there's so many things I can do with it, and it's just so such great practice. And on the Not the album we just released, but the one we're working on now. We're working on getting some other musicians to overdub some stuff. We're talking about getting a jazz trio for one of our songs, and my bluegrass teacher, his name is Mr. Wayne Erbson. He's written books. I mean, people like Billy Strings, Alison Krauss has recommended his books. He wrote a song called The Railroad Blues. And I was like, what about putting a cover on the new album? Because we have so many more possibilities with just doing a studio thing. And when we recorded the album in January, we did the whole thing live. The backing tracks was done
Oh,
live, and I
my
got
work
this
on the
new
drum.
interface to record all the tracks live, and we just cut that cover. Maybe took 10 minutes, and that was it, you know.
Was fun. That's the first time we've ever like recorded anything like, live with everybody playing at the same time. We've had to go
Yeah.
through after the fact and, touch up a couple things,
Yeah.
but the skeleton, the meat and bones of the fourth album. It's crazy that I in our last interview, let me finish my statement. Skeleton, meat and bones of the fourth album are recorded live. In our last interview that we did, I brought this up, but we are a lot more like ahead of our own schedule than I think people like realize, because we released the Skylight Inn in the same month that we completely cut the entire fourth album. So,
Yes.
wow.
It's always been like that. It's always been like that.
That's exciting though. You always have something waiting in the
Yep.
wings for the next big thing that comes. I love it.
Hey, musicians, are you looking for quality live show photos to highlight your work? Look no further than Summer Lee. Summer specializes in concert photography, and she's booking now in the Chicago and Nashville areas. She also travels and is tour ready. Find her on Instagram at summerlee.photo or Facebook at Summer Lee Photo. Hit her up on DM for rates and availability. Summer shot for us at Americana Fest last September, and we can guarantee that she is the real deal and a true professional.
All right, should we do rapid fire questions?
Yeah, we're gonna rapid fire you guys
Okay.
now.
Oh man.
Nothing too hard, I
No,
promise.
they're not hard at all.
Okay, the first one, and you can just take turns answering. How about this? Answer in the order that you introduced yourselves. That's not me.
Oh geez.
All
Oh,
right. Okay,
okay.
coffee or tea?
Coffee, 100%, no question.
Okay, vinyl, cassette, CD, or streaming?
CD or streaming?
Or
Oh.
vinyl? Or cassette.
Oh, okay. Vinyl, cassette, CD, or streaming. I mean, theoretically, my answer would be vinyl, but I do more streaming than anything else. I do have like three vinyls back there. I have a record player, but I need more of a collection.
Fair.
Fair.
Yep. Okay. First album you ever bought?
Anders?
He's thinking.
He's
Thinking.
thinking.
Oh, man. Oh, man. From what I remember, I think it was John Coltrane's Blue Train on vinyl. I think that was the first one I ever bought. That's as far back as I remember. Yeah.
Anybody else want to answer that one?
Yeah, I was like, I kind of want to hear Augie's answer to this question.
Yeah, I want to
I
hear you
think it was
guys.
Johnny Cash's Greatest Hits. I remember playing
Nice.
that when I was 6 years old and knowing every single song. So.
First album I ever bought was Nirvana's Nevermind.
Very cool. Okay, what is your go-to karaoke song? You can
Raspberry
always sing
Beret,
that.
Prince.
Love it.
Yes.
Anybody else want to answer?
I've not done karaoke before.
Ever?
I'm waiting for the chance. I'm waiting for the chance because now I'm like, I'm a vocalist in a band. I have the confidence to
Right.
do it, but
Get the
I just
chops.
haven't gotten a chance in the past like 5 years.
Yeah.
Eventually it will
Yeah,
come.
I would say maybe some like Radiohead songs. I would fuck with that. That'd be sick.
Yes.
If you gave me
Nice.
a
Certified by
chance, I'd
all-time
be
favorite.
Take On Me. If you gave me any choice, I'd say Take On Me by We've done that live.
Okay.
Mm.
I love it. Okay, so Augie, I mean, you do most of the writing, correct? Do you like to
Well,
write in that?
now
Well,
it is
now it's
mostly me and Vinny.
you and Vinny. Okay, so do you
Yeah.
guys like to write in the night or in the morning? Do you have a preference?
Oh.
Well,
You guys
it's strange
like
because,
the afternoon.
yeah, the
Well,
afternoon
it's
mostly, yeah.
okay. Fair. Yeah. Okay, do you write lyrics on paper, phone notes, or voice memos? I'll
Phone
let
notes.
you. This is
Phone
two different.
notes.
This is two different answers. Yeah, I write lyrics on phone notes, but I have so many voice memos of everything else.
Yeah.
Every other part of music, I do voice memos of.
Okay, do you, any of you, have a pre-show pump-up song that you like to listen to?
Do I like
I do
fish?
listen to mu I do listen to music like religiously all the time, to the point where it annoys some of my family members. But I don't think there's any like specific song. I think I just, funnily enough, I rarely ever
Yeah.
listen to anything we're going to play on the set. Because if I'm listening to a song, especially like a cover, if I'm listening to like a cover, a song that we're about to cover, that's usually a bad sign. I should probably know what it sounds like by that point.
I think I played Cult of Personality a couple times before going on stage, because that's like a hard hitting one, you know, that gets you going. So.
That used to be
Anderson.
my favorite song of all time.
Any pop-up song for you, Anders?
Maybe I wish I feel like there was definitely some. I can't remember exactly which ones, but I know that I would do that. Like before I would go to a gig, I would put on certain kinds of music or certain music and to kind of like get me in the vibe that I want to play for. I think usually it was a lot of the times like the songs that I was most excited to play, like maybe songs that I had like wanted to cover that I kind of brought up, and I would kind of like listen to those and be like, just excited to play them.
Get you in the mood to play them. Yep. Okay, dogs,
Right,
cats,
yeah.
fish, or birds, or reptile, or horses.
Cats, 100%, no question for me.
Probably dog. I had one really good bird, but the rest of them were kind of mediocre.
I'd say cats, yeah. I'd say cats.
There's a title for an album right there, Mediocre Birds. They're
Mediocre
awful.
bird.
There
We'll give you credit.
you go. Okay, describe your sound in three words so you can each do one word.
Oh.
I blues.
Okay.
Fusion.
Like it?
Jazz.
Nice. Okay,
That's kind of
what
our
that's kind of your.
contributions. Yeah.
It's true. That's true. Okay, what advice would you give to any new musicians or songwriters?
Don't listen to anything I say, is the first bit of advice. No, I mean, actually, I do have some really practical advice. I used to think when it came to trying to use your influences to recreate a sound that you like, I used to think it was all mental, like you would listen to enough of a sound that you could like kind of hum it out. It's mostly physical, actually. If you really want to recreate a sound, you should learn as much of it as possible, and then it just becomes muscle memory and starts happening naturally. So I learned that. I wish I had learned that years ago.
That is good advice.
That is good advice.
Yeah, I would say gig as much as you can. I think that's, I learned a lot from gigging. I knew how to be restrained and not overplay. I knew how to turn down. One time we got kicked out of a gig because I was too loud and I didn't want to turn down. So that is, you know, all the young musicians, you got to
Lesson.
turn down when people tell you to
Probably
turn
the
down.
covers thing. Probably the covers thing. Me and him were talking the other day about how like we used to be way too heavy on the covers. We wish we had, done more, put more faith into our original work when we were still playing regularly.
I have I think I have one that all three of us can agree with, which is if you have a member in your band and they're not doing what you want them to do, then let them go. Let them do what they're gonna do, but let them
That's a
go,
story.
move
That's a
on.
podcast. That's a podcast right there.
Very true. Very true.
That's a really good advice.
Yes, it is.
Oh my God. So we would love to have you all share a song with us. Tell us the name of it. We kind of talked about it already, but tell us the name again and tell us a little bit more about it.
Well, the song we're gonna show is called "Image of Paradise." It was written by Vinny and I said a little bit about it beforehand, but it was Vinny's riff, and I came in with the lyrics, and then he helped out with the lyrics and changed the sort of vibe of it a little bit. And I describe it as classic rock. It has a lot of it has some synths and some keyboards. Vinny has more to say about it, I think.
I love this song because the last album that we did, Travel to Eternity, was very much dominated by my creative force. And I was going for a certain vibe that was kind of influenced by my personal like heroes of music, and that vibe is usually kind of like self-serious. And it's just going for like a cool factor, and I think that album kind of achieved it. But when I came up with the riff for Image of Paradise, I almost didn't want to use it because it sounds so like classic, like rocky. It sounds like something like your dad would like.
The
But
Kinks.
it was such a good riff. It sounded very vintage. It didn't sound very like, like modern. So I was like, yeah, this isn't really the kind of stuff that I write for Oakdale Drive. But when I showed a dog, he was like, no, that's it right there. So this song, I was like, I want to fully lean into kind of that like 80s like hard rock super ballad. I heard Billy Idol in a lot of it when I was putting some of the melody to it in the verse. So yeah, the song turned out amazingly, and it really opened my horizons and let me kind of break out of the box that I put myself into in the last album. Not that I don't love the last album. A lot of this record is that just kind of breaking out of boxes for me.
Thank you.
talk about my the song that I wrote on the album
We have that one
called
too now.
For a Beautiful Soul, which is all the other songs were written by Augie and Vinny. And yeah, they did an amazing job on all those songs. But the one song that I did write for this album, yeah, again called For a Beautiful Soul. It was written for a friend, kind of a friend of like of all three of ours who had passed away in like 2023. And whenever like something like that happens in my life, music is kind of my go-to. It's just like I write or I listen. And I feel like that whole song is just it's a interesting thing because I mean it's kind of older. It was recorded a while before we recorded so I even thought really we were thinking about this album because we just wanted to have that song recorded in general, at least I did, because that song is just really important to me. And it captures a certain vibe and a certain or a certain emotion and a certain just kind of feeling that is just really interesting to me and really beautiful to me. And it's awesome to have it out now, like on streaming services and like along with an album that like I feel like it fits a part of. And yeah, there's just that song means a lot to me. And yeah, I mean it's just a very important song and I'm really glad to have it out.
Very cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad it's all out in the world
Yes.
too.
It's a
So,
beautiful song. It's wonderful. I mean, there are a few songs that really quickly before we get this out of the way that I just want to like touch upon because I think this album's
sure,
weird. I
absolutely.
think we're only going to get weirder. I mean, Dream Unseen is Oakdale Drive doing swamp rock. Imagine that. That would have blown someone's mind a few years ago. Locked Out is a very, very old cut. If I'm not, Augie can correct me. I think that might be pre-Eternity. Is that the first
It
song we ever
was.
wrote
It's
together?
the first song we ever wrote together.
Yeah, and
Oh,
that song came because Augie was he would drive me to his house after school to work on stuff. And one time we were locked out of his house, so we went to the backyard. He had an acoustic guitar in his back seat of his car. We sat in the backyard and we literally hammered like that entire track out. Did we do the lyrics there too?
we did everything. It took like 30
Yeah, that
minutes.
whole album. But that song's been waiting in the wings for a little bit. Frozen in the Way was also another one that I think was considered for Eternity, but it was just too early in development to make it right. That one was like written around that time, but it was just so early and we didn't really figure it out in time for the album. The Final Say is one of my absolute favorite ones because that bridge riff is something that I've been sitting on for so long since like I was like 16 maybe, like when I first joined the band, that's something. And then I'm looking at the set list here. I'm trying to make sure everything at least a lot of these get a shout out. Storybook Ending was something that me and Augie worked out. It's like a cool little outro to the album. Originally, it was just the ending of the opening song for All the Tea in China, and of course, they have like the same key and texture and tone. So you can hear that they're supposed to be one piece, but we decided to kind of split it up and give the album a really cool ending at the end. And then Hear Our Calls, definitely one that I want to give a little bit of a shout out because the process of recording that one was very interesting, specifically. Me being in Augie's parents' little closet singing. It's not little. It was like it's like your average size closet, but most closets are small. And I
Yeah.
was in there, surrounded by clothing, and I was singing for like 2 hours on this song. So I will never forget the process there. Augie, I didn't touch on Overture of Innocence. Another one of my absolute favorites. It got its I kind of dubbed it that because I thought the soundtrack sounded like something from like a video game I would play when I was a kid. So like I was thinking specifically like Mega Man, just something arcadey. So I wanted Overture of Innocence being like just youth. I think the only one I haven't touched upon are the Dream of no. Yeah, the only one I didn't touch
For
upon.
All the
Oh
tea in
yeah.
China.
You want to do Tea and Flaneur? Because I think they deserve.
Yeah, I'll do
Yeah,
it very
who's in
briefly.
touch?
For All the Tea in China was written in around March of 2024, and I just it's a song that means absolutely nothing. The lyrics mean nothing. They have no relevance. You can find the relevance, but it literally there's no relevance. I'm sorry, but it's just very ca it's catchy. It came to me instantly, and I showed it to our best bandmate, and he was like, you got to put that out there. It's such a good song, So I was like, well, let's just put it at the on the first track. And Vinny added a lot of stuff to that with his sort of rock feel. It was originally supposed to be like a folk song, but he sort of rockified it. Flaneur was a song I wrote in Ireland. I went to Ireland last year, and I would walk around. The meaning of flaneur is to be an aimless wanderer. So if you walk into a town and you have nowhere to go and no impetus to do anything, you're a flaneur. And I thought it was such a cool title. So I had the music that I wrote a couple months ago, and I recorded it for a project that I did as a travelogue to Ireland. And then we were compiling the songs for the Skylight Inn, and I was like, I really want that up there. And then we recut it as a band, and Anders added a really melodic solo to it. And it's almost akin to something you'd hear in the 1930s. I mean, I really tried to go for that sort of sound, and has an interesting progression. It's one of my favorite Oakdale Drive songs, and yeah, I just love talking about it too. So.
China was a great opener because it kind of carried over the style from the last album. It's a great bridge.
Well, we are
Oh
glad that
my
you guys
gosh.
shared all the information about all of the
Yes.
songs because that's exactly why we wanted you to come back and
Yep.
tell us about this new project. And we know you got a lot of stuff coming up, so feel free to hit us up again. We'll have you back on for the
Will
next
do.
project.
But
Yeah,
first of all, we
this
want you to do your shameless plug. So tell everybody where we can find your music, your social media, all that stuff.
Everywhere. We post it pretty much everywhere. If y'all
Right.
want a vinyl, if anyone wants a vinyl, just email us and we will make it
Sounds really
for you. It's not
expensive.
cheap, but
They're
we
really
did sell
expensive.
one vinyl at a show.
We've sold
That's
one record, which is more than most
fantastic.
bands that I
That's
know. And yeah,
Sounds
just find us
fantastic.
Spotify, Apple Music, all those services. Just and
Right.
if you want a list of it, we have it on Instagram. So just go to our Instagram bio and where every all the songs are there. So.
You didn't set a plane
Awesome.
sign.
Oh yeah, we're on planes. Well, I said it on the last podcast. I think that would be redundant to
That's
say it
it
again.
every time I can do stuff.
Oh, okay.
Oh my gosh,
Well,
you guys
thank
are
you
great.
guys. You are fantastic. You made me
Yes.
laugh, and this was awesome. We're so excited for
Yes.
your album and your new stuff coming out later. So keep in touch. We're
For that.
Thanks for
Thanks,
having
guys.
us. Yeah, this has been awesome.
I'm just going to say that I am super excited, like I always say, but I'm super excited to see how super excited that they are about their album. Absolutely. It's cool to see how they all come together to make this happen. And
Well, and being in three different places and then just like making it work
And
is
they,
awesome.
they've been through some ups and downs with band members and things like that, but they crack me up so much because they are just they
They're
have
doing
fun.
it. They're doing it too.
Yeah,
And
fun.
the 90-10 was great. You guys were a lot of fun. Thank you so much, Augie, Vinny, and Anders for being on the show. And we can't wait to see what's happening next. Thanks for listening to Sisters in Song. Follow us on all social media platforms at Sisters in Song Podcast, and follow us wherever you stream your podcasts. If you like our show, please like and follow us on all of your social media. Please feel free to share.